Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Tuesday edition of the program, live and underway. We do this show each weekday at 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers, and of course, sports from a Southern Indiana perspective, and another jam-packed hour for you here on this Tuesday. Let's take a look quickly at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we're going to open up with a guest today. Luke Brown will join us. He's a standout basketball player at Blackford High School who comes to New Albany to play tonight, to play at the Doghouse. We'll have more on that game coming up in the show today. But Luke is a fantastic high school basketball player. He really kind of captured the hearts of Indiana high school hoops, and what he's done for his community and the way he scores points is amazing. He's going to join us a little bit later to preview tonight's game and just talk about his amazing career so far as he continues to climb up the star-studded list of all-time leading scorers in the state for high school basketball. So Luke Brown in segment one. Later in the program, Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star, joins us in segment two. We've got to get to some IU football stuff with Greg. Obviously, Indiana maybe got screwed a little bit, I think it's safe to say, in the bowl situation. We'll talk about that with Greg. We'll talk about Tom Allen with Greg. Also, we'll have to check in on IU basketball. And I know he wants to talk about Armand Franklin and his great start to the season for the Hoosiers. So we'll do that with Greg Doyle in segment two. And then to finish things out today, our final segment coming up later in the show, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, who's always with us on Tuesdays. We'll take a long look at IU basketball, what's next for the Hoosiers coming up as they get ready to open Big Ten play. Not going to be easy against a Northwestern team that scored a big win over the weekend in Big Ten play. And we'll start to look at the bowl game. I know yesterday we spent so much time on IU football and on the Outback Bowl, mainly that it really wasn't the destination most of us felt this Indiana football team should be in the postseason. But today it's reality. We know it's going to stick. We'll start talking about the matchup with Ole Miss and what's ahead with this Outback Bowl. And how's the health of this Indiana football team as well? That's a question that I have for Mike, and he'll join us later in the hour today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check them out for your Christmas ham or turkey. They're available at 3602 Northgate Court, and of course, always there to help you with the big day as far as the Christmas meal goes. They can relieve that stress from you here during this holiday season. You can call to find out more at 812-941-9426. Let's get right to it. In our opening segment today, Luke Brown of Blackford, who plays at New Albany tonight. It's a 7:30 varsity start, and B.J. McAllister, the athletic director at New Albany, told me a little earlier this morning that there will be about 150 tickets for sale. So the doors open for the junior varsity contest at 5 p.m. And, of course, I think in a normal setting, this game may be full, but tonight only 1,000 people because of regulations from the Floyd County Health Department, and so just about 150 tickets available. So if you want one of those and you don't have your ticket already, don't have a season ticket, you need to make sure you make your way to the Doghouse. Door 7, Coach McAllister tells me, to get your ticket early tonight. Luke is with me now. Luke, first off, thanks for joining us. We're looking forward to welcoming you to Southern Indiana later tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we've talked before, not on this show, but I'm obviously familiar who you are and what you've done, and I think a lot of listeners would know your name. Not sure that they've seen you play, but for someone who might be seeing Luke Brown, the prolific scorer that they've read about many times in the newspaper and heard about, what would you describe yourself, your game, and what people should expect tonight?
I would just say I'm a lead point guard who wants to win games. So whether that's, you know, having to score 50 with zero assists or 15 points and 25 assists, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. So whatever my coach tells me, you know, I need to do, whether he sees that I can get to the rack and score, or if I need to dish off the teammates who are hitting, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. So in the game tonight, I know we got a tough matchup, and I'm just going to do whatever it takes to win.
Now, Luke, so far this season, your high-scoring affairs have continued. 34 points last Thursday as your team defeated Liberty Christian. And through five games this season, you're averaging 33.2 points per game. So scoring is something that comes very natural to you, right?
Yeah. I've always been a scorer ever since I was a little kid. I always loved to shoot the ball. I think I've really worked on my game a lot throughout the years, ball handling, passing, things like that, to not only be just a shooter, but yeah, scoring has come easy to me since I was little, so I'm blessed for that.
Luke Brown, my guest. The Blackford Bruins play at New Albany tonight, 7:30 varsity game, about 150 tickets remaining for that contest. Luke, obviously, the story here is not just your scoring, and we're going to get back to your scoring in a moment, but it's also about Hartford City, which is where Blackford High School is located. Tell us about your hometown. Tell us about where you stay at, where you live, and how that city has rallied around you and this Blackford High School team over the last few seasons as you guys have really done some amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see. Last year, we just got it's like a banner with when we won our sectional, when we were standing in front of our whole crowd, and you don't realize how packed the place really was until you look at that picture, and there's just, you can't even see the bleachers. There's so many people up there. So it's cool to see everybody rally around us. I know they're all really upset right now with the whole COVID and not being able to get into games, but I know they're still watching from home, which is great. And but yeah, it's been really cool to see more and more people come out and watch us and rally around, not only me, but the team. I know a lot of guys on the team feel the same way, that, you know, it's almost comforting to have these people around us. So it's really cool. I love the community and love playing for them.
Luke Brown, my guest. Again, Blackford, his high school team plays at New Albany tonight. Should be a fun little pre-Christmas high school basketball matchup at the Doghouse. You are rapidly this season moving up the all-time scoring list in the state of Indiana, and when you have outputs like the 34 points on Thursday night, that's going to happen. In fact, Kyle Nedenrip, who's with us every Friday on this very program, did the math recently in a little story called the Luke Brown Watch, and figures that if you continue to average what you are so far, it's very likely that you could finish somewhere right around New Albany legend Romeo Langford, where he's at number four in the state's all-time scoring list. And I know that injuries and then this COVID season where it maybe cuts some games out. Last year you guys didn't get the chance to move on after a sectional championship. You were just telling us about the banner that you guys took with the crowd in the background. So there have been some opportunities maybe that have cut you short on this scoring barrage that you've been on. How much do you think about the scoring list and moving up that list? I know you sure hear about it a lot, whether it's from fans or from media people like me, but how important is that to you, and do you think it's something that do you realize some of these names you're passing? Does your dad or does your former coach Jerry Hoover, who we know very well here, do they ever say, you know, I remember watching this guy play here, this guy went on to this college and did that? Do you realize some of these names that you're bypassing as you have these big outbursts?
Yeah, I want to start off by saying it's a blessing, and it's really cool, you know, because I know a lot of those guys that I'm passing, that I see through social media, you know, so Luke passed so-and-so, and it's cool and it's humbling. But I don't try to focus on it too much. Like, if I didn't have social media, I probably wouldn't know, that I'm passing so-and-so or that I'm climbing up the board, because our coaches don't talk much about it. We don't really pay attention to all that noise. We're just, focused on the team and trying to win as many games as possible. And the state championship to me would mean a lot more than the scoring title. So
Blackford plays at New Albany tonight, JV at 6, varsity around 7:30. Now, Luke, you guys are a 2A school, and again, you've had plenty of success playing at that level. This year, you guys have added some other games like this New Albany contest to showcase you and to showcase your team, and you guys feel that you are up to the challenge, I know, to have some success when the state tournament gets here this year, and hopefully we don't have any kind of crazy cancellation due to a pandemic. So this season is kind of a tune-up for you guys and a showcase as well to say, hey, here's Luke Brown in your community, and here's what he can do, and let's put him on the all-star team, and let's make sure that he gets some recognition in addition to the team as well. But tell us about this team that you're on. It's not just you. You guys are very solid, and you guys play and are playing a much more difficult schedule this year.
Yeah, we have a really solid team this year. We got a freshman that came up, Jack Wars. He's a big-time player for us right now. I think he's averaging around 14 points a game. Landon Grimes, Max, Cam Elam, Dane Baker, all of them. We got Dawson Hundley. We got a really good group of guys that are just working hard. And we know New Albany's 4A, big school, and what they bring to the table. But just got to go out and work hard and prove that we belong. You know, it's just a regular season game. I always tell my guys, like, yeah, we want to win, because like I'm probably one of the most competitive people anybody's ever met. But at the end of the day, regular season doesn't mean anything. We can be 1-20 playing great competition and go blow through our sectional, and that's all that matters. So it's just a regular season game, but we got to come out ready to play.
Luke, you're going to play college hoops at the Division I level. You'll play at Stetson. You had a number of mid-major schools and even some others that recruited you throughout the process, but you wanted to go to Stetson, and that's located in Florida for somebody maybe that didn't know. So you're going to go away to play. Talk about your college decision and why that made sense for you.
Yeah, I just really felt like the coaching staff was like family. They treated me like family. Really, really nice group of guys. A lot of them are religious, and that really stuck with me. Just the way they recruited me and always watching my AAU games, always calling, always checking in. And even now that I'm committed, I mean, I get a text or a call almost every day, you know, little Bible scriptures here and there. And that stuff's cool to me, and it makes me feel almost safe and at home, and like I could really play for Coach Jones. Like I always tell my dad, when I can run through a brick wall for a coach, it makes playing a whole lot more fun. So I feel like I can do that with that staff there. And I know Josh Smith from Monrovia. He is there right now playing. So yeah, it just boiled down to the coaches and where I felt most comfortable, and Stetson was the place.
Luke Brown, his Blackford team plays at New Albany tonight. We understand about 150 tickets remaining for the 1,000 maximum capacity during this pandemic as it stands. So if you want to see Luke and the Bulldogs do battle, you can get there early. Get your ticket door 7 tonight, about 150 tickets remaining. Luke, always great to catch up with you. I admire what you've done, but most importantly, admire how you've done it. And coming up in the next segment, Luke, we have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, who is always on this Tuesday, on this program each Tuesday as a regular guest. And we've had a number of conversations about you. You've kind of got to know Greg, and I know he's a big fan of yours as well.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. Make sure you tell him I said hi when he gets on.
Definitely. Luke Brown, we'll see you tonight at the Doghouse. Safe travels, and talk to you this evening.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Again, Luke Brown in Blackford at New Albany tonight. If you're looking for a little pre-holiday hoops before we get to Christmas Eve and, of course, the Christmas holiday, high school hoops looks different right now. There's no question about it. The crowds just aren't the same. The Doghouse won't have the same feel tonight as what it normally does. We've had rivalry games here the last few weekends, New Albany, Floyd Central, Silver Creek, Jeff last Friday. They're good games. They still have that same level of competition, but just not the same without those sold-out crowds that Southern Indiana basketball is so much known for. But tonight should be an interesting game. Blackford 5-0, a Class 2A team led by Luke Brown, who continues to move up the scoring list. New Albany will be looking to get back in the win column. They've had two tough ones, including Carmel, who defeated them at home on Saturday night by 8 points. And so we'll see how this one plays out tonight. You got to be there to see it. 7:30 is when the game begins. We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. We'll get into IU football, headed to the Outback Bowl. Why not the Fiesta? And Tom Allen as well. We'll discuss that. Armon Franklin and the IU basketball team open Big Ten play later this week. We'll chat about that with Greg as well. Stay with us. A Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report continues This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, segment number two. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us, as he is each Tuesday here on the program. And, Greg, I want to talk IU football and the bowl situation and Tom Allen, and then get to IU basketball and maybe some other stuff with you in this segment. But first, Luke Brown was just with us in the first segment. He wanted to make sure we told you hello.
I tell you what, there's a handful of best things about this job, and so I wouldn't want to leave out anything, but there's a handful of them. But one of the best things about this job is getting to know people like Luke Brown, like Romeo Langford. I think you remember that time. You told me when I talked to Romeo after, I think it was the Seymour regional sectional, whatever. I talked to him after the game, and you said he came into the locker room with a big light, big smile on his face because he was so happy to have finally talked to me or something. When these kids that are special, you know, young men, and anyway, that's awesome. I love that. But yeah, Luke's a great kid. Luke's gonna go down so far because he's more local to me. Had I worked in Southern Indiana, Romeo would be the guy for me, I'm sure. But I, you know, I'm up here, and Luke's up here, and I've seen Luke every year. It's gonna take a whole lot when I retire 15, 20 years from now. It's gonna take a whole lot for some kid to be more special to me than Luke Brown. At the high school level.
And how odd is it, just from where we're located, where you're located, that they play tonight? How odd is it that, and I'm looking at Kyle Nedrip's story in front of me, if you do the math, and obviously a lot can change, especially in this season that we're playing in, but if Luke stays on the path that he is scoring, that he has in his career and he has so far this season, he's likely going to finish, I think, right behind Romeo. I think it's possible that he goes ahead of Romeo, but he's going to finish, they're going to finish in order some which way.
Yeah, if he and topping 3,000, that would be, that's kind of the magic number now. 2,000 used to be, and it still is a magic number, but for the best three is kind of the number. It'd be great if it got there. I don't even know. I haven't. What has Luke done so far this year? What kind of pace is he on?
33.2 points per game so far. He had 34 Thursday in their last game.
Okay, he averaged 35 as a sophomore, and I think a step back last year. I mean, he could score whatever he wanted. I've watched him. I've watched him play every year a few times. In a couple cases, and Luke is a guy, and you'll see this unless he's changed, and you know maybe he has, but he's a guy that spends the first quarter not looking for a shot. It's frustrating to watch him because I go watch him play. I'm right by Luke Brown, and three times in a row it's happened where he's almost been scoreless in the first quarter with no shots, and I'm like, don't tell me I came to the one game where he doesn't go off for 30. Don't tell me that because I came all the way here to watch him get 30. And then he starts looking for a shot, and then especially if the game's close, then it's all over. So that might happen tonight. You know, you might watch him play the first quarter, and you wonder what all the fuss is about. Just keep watching, and you won't. You'll recognize what you're seeing. I'm sure most of them will too. But just make sure you guys appreciate what you watch with the ball in his hands, not just the scoring, because he makes some passes that are just silly. I mean, they're just silly, and he plays with such joy, just such joy. That's why it's special to me is that you can tell, not because he's got a big smile on his face, but just the creativity that he plays with is, I mean, we're watching it's like watching Beethoven on a piano. I mean, he's a genius, and you know, he was born with the body he was born with. Okay. So he doesn't have the physical skills maybe to go to the NBA. I have no idea. I mean, I'm not saying he can't, but when it comes to ball control and the things he can do, especially at that age, he's a genius.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, could talk high school hoops and Luke Brown and New Albany all day, but I want to get to a big topic here that I'm really curious your opinion on. And I'm curious of your opinion on a lot of things. I think if you listen to this segment and listen to my questions, people figure that out. But IU football headed to the Outback Bowl Sunday. I think for a lot of IU fans that have waited for Indiana to have this fully breakout season, even though things have been improving recently. Probably pretty disappointed. And obviously there are other people within the IU program. Some players took to social media and had some, you know, comments that were, I don't want to say negative, but they definitely let you know they weren't necessarily pleased. Fans, clearly, but it was former athletic director Fred Glass that I thought summarized the situation well, and probably is in a pretty good place to do so, as he's currently, you know, no longer the leader of the IU football program or of IU athletics as a whole. What are your thoughts on the Outback Bowl selection, and did Indiana truly get pushed out of a New Year's Six opportunity that you feel they deserved?
Yes, and I hate it what happened, and I hope they beat Ole Miss by 30 for a bunch of reasons. One is just to demonstrate how good they are. Two is that Lane Kiffin's the coach at Ole Miss, and he's an absolute idiot. I mean he's a good football mind. He's Monty's son. I mean he knows the game. I'm not saying he's a football idiot. I'm saying he's a human being idiot. I mean he's an idiot, and idiots like that don't need to be beating IU. So I hope they win by 30. And that's for you, Lane. That when they kick an onside kick up 28, that's for you. Tom Allen won't do that, but I just would love to see it. I'll tell you exactly why IU got left out. There's a bunch of reasons, but the biggest reason, they're out because Florida's in, and Florida's in because Florida's athletic director Scott Strickland is on the College Football Playoff Committee. Mm. And listen. I like Scott a lot. I am not blaming him at all. Let me make that clear. Scott was – he started in basketball. He was the SID, Sports Information Director, the guy that deals with the media at Baylor when Dave Bliss was there. And he did that – I mean, it's an impossible job. He did it so well, Kentucky hired him. He was Kentucky's SID for Tubby Smith, I think some of Billy Gillespie. But he's such a smart guy and a sharp guy, and even bigger things for him were waiting for him. He became the AD at Mississippi State, and now he's the AD at Florida, my alma mater. And I'm not surprised. He's a great guy. But he's on the College Football Playoff Committee. There's like 13 members. And I'm sure when it came time to discuss Florida that he recused himself. You know, I'm sure he left the room. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he has to. But I'm also sure that the committee, whether they said it or more likely, subconsciously, no one said it, but they all are thinking it, is that Scott Strickland's going to come back in this room. We don't want to look him in the face and let him know that we put IU ahead of his team. So, Florida, you're going to be in. That's why Florida – what I'm telling you is this. If Scott Strickland was on the College Football Playoff Committee next year, IU's in right now. But because Florida had a person in that room, and again, it's not his fault. I can't say that enough. I love Scott Strickland, not his fault. But human nature let down IU, and that's where it was.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, I thought Zach Osterman said it really good, too, in our chat yesterday on this show. You know, Indiana is really – because of the situation they're in and who they're going to play, dropping down a little bit in bowl hierarchy, they really can't win their bowl game, because if they don't beat Ole Miss in a sizable way or in a considerable manner, then it's going to be a loss. And, of course, if Ole Miss were to upset them, then obviously it is a loss or it is a disappointment. But Indiana's kind of in, a bad situation. I would have liked to have seen this Indiana team that's had some big successes this season. I know they say the Big Ten's down and that division's not what it normally is, and Penn State and Michigan obviously look at their records this year. But I would like to see Indiana be in a bowl situation where they're going against somebody that they're not the favorite to beat, and maybe they could make a statement in a New Year's Six Bowl with an upset win, because I think we know that this Indiana team's pretty good. Other people, maybe some national doubters, don't.
For sure, that's the ideal situation, is they played, you know, that they got them the game Northwestern got, which doesn't make sense that Northwestern got that. But for sure, that'd be better. And it'd be better, best of all, if they're in a New York Six Bowl playing, you know, a top five or six team, and let's see what happens. If they lose to Ole Miss, then that's a disaster. That's really bad. But you're still, until further notice, and further notice is coming, you know, maybe we're a year or two away, but until further notice, you're still IU football. And IU football going to the Outback Bowl, going to a Florida Bowl, and beating an SEC team matters. This is not Ohio State playing 4-5 Ole Miss and winning by 3, and holy cow, Ohio State, we thought you were good. This is IU football. There might be idiots on Twitter, on social media, saying if they win by 3, well, that's why you're not in the New Year's Six Bowl. Those are idiots. But big picture, IU goes down to Florida. Tom Allen runs amok in Florida for a week again, recruiting. I'm not sure and how much you can do during the pandemic. This recruiting week will look different for him than last year at the Gator Bowl. But you give him a week in Florida, you give IU probably a win against an SEC team in SEC country. You let Tom Allen recruit. It's not what it should have been, but I don't think it's enough. You almost can't win this situation. It's not that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, he's with us on Tuesdays. Want to switch to IU basketball for a moment. It's hard to talk about this Indiana team so far this season, and obviously Trace Jackson Davis comes to the forefront, but if you're looking for a boost or a surprise or a welcomed addition to step up and help Trace as one of the scoring leaders on this team, especially given the fact that he shot the three pretty good, it's hard not to talk about Armaan Franklin.
Yeah, and he's had a good season. He's not had this one he kind of erupted last year as a freshman. He wasn't very good. He had that monster game in the Crossroads Classic, and it was kind of, as I wrote, it was kind of cute. I mean, it's kind of cute. Like, oh, Armaan Franklin played well. How cute is that? That was as a freshman. Well, this wasn't that, what he did the other night. He's been doing this He's been doing this all year. Probably hadn't had a game quite that good, but you can see it coming. He's averaging 14 a game, shooting 46% from three. It's early, but still, that's six, seven games. And he's also, averaging five boards and, I say only three assists because I thought it was more than that because he's capable of more than that. He's going to get – I think I told you a couple years ago, Juwan Morgan's going to get a triple-double. I wasn't brilliant saying that, but it happened. He got the triple-double. You can see it coming. And Armaan Franklin, same way. You can see it coming. He's going to get triple-double. Might not be this year, maybe next year, but he's a triple-double kind of guy. And he's improved as much as just about anybody in the Big Ten, I would think. He hasn't quite – well, no one found the Luka Garza improvement from – 2 years ago to last year, whatever that was, but he's about as improved a player as I've seen in this state in the Big Ten from 1 year to the next.
Greg, Indiana opens up Big Ten play tomorrow, and they do so against Northwestern. And I think when the Big Ten schedule finally came out, which hasn't even been that long ago, right before the season officially began, you look at the schedule and you think, okay, the first Big Ten game is Northwestern. It's a game that Indiana needs to win, should win, because we know how tough the Big Ten Conference is going to be, and we know what's coming up in the next few games for this Indiana team, once especially they get to the new year in that stretch of Big Ten games. Then Northwestern has a big win over the weekend to start their Big Ten play, and you realize that this statement that's going to – and somebody tweeted this. I'd give credit to him if I could remember who it was. But the Northwestern win over the weekend, over Michigan State, by the way, that is going to cause the phrase that there's no off nights in the Big Ten this season to be used even more than it already is. But that's truly the case. Northwestern's not at the top. They're not at the middle of the pack, according to the prognosticators. They're more toward the bottom, and they just defeated Michigan State. And what a Big Ten conference, and what a ride this is going to be for this Indiana team.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of good teams in this league, and given what happened to Michigan State, and we thought they might be the best, every good team in this league is going to get beat up this year. You just can't. You're going to lose a game because maybe one night Trace Jackson Davis is in a bad mood, or one night Armaan Franklin just his ankle hurts and no one knows it. The league is too hard for an off night to not bite you. And there's going to be off nights. I mean, these young men are human. So IU is going to lose some games, and everybody's going to lose some games. And it's going to be a little bit misleading for some people that the people that don't really look all that closely. They look closely, but they don't really realize exactly what they're watching. Some people are going to think, well, maybe this IU team wasn't as good as we thought, and they're really good. It's just not their fault to play. It's like the SEC football used to be, and kind of still is, but more like used to be. You could be the eighth best team in the SEC football, and you could have won the Big 12 some years. And this is how the Big Ten is going to be, is that you could be the eighth best team in the Big Ten, and you still might be a Sweet 16 team if you're that good.
Greg, kind of parting question for you today, and I don't know that you have any insight that anyone else doesn't have, but any...
Oh, I'll say if I don't, I'll say.
Any thoughts on Joey Brunk? Are we going to see him? We thought it was a back situation, and I know that can be touch and go, but it sounded early on like it was going to be a couple games, two, three, four games maybe, but now I've heard rumors it may be a long while for him.
Well, I have a little bit of insight, not much. Sure enough, somebody was going to want to tweet out like, ooh, Greg just said, but Joey's on the list of – we started the show with me saying one of the great things about my job is I get to know these people. Joey Brunk's one of them. When he was at Butler, and hell, at IU too, last year, he's a guy that I would seek out on the court before the game as they're warming up, and he'll leave the layup line to come give me a hug. So Joey's special to me. And I was texting with him maybe a week ago, just seeing how it was, and I told him, hey, look, I'm not looking to break news. Whatever you tell me, I'm not going to write it, but just, you know, how are you? And all he said was, yeah, I'm okay. It's getting along. He didn't give me anything, which is fine. But that, you couple the fact that he didn't really give me anything. He didn't say, yeah, I'll be back in three, and, you know, nothing. Combine that with the fact that from game one, he hadn't been playing. I remember watching game one. I forget who they played against. I even wrote this in my story. Tennessee Tech or whoever they beat the hell out of somebody. And they said on TV that, you know, Brunk's not playing, but the coaches say, you know, it won't be long. So I remember writing that, yeah, they're missing Joey Brunk, but it sure sounds like it's no big deal. But as a month has passed, you have to wonder what – I've wondered, is he almost opting out? Is that what's happening here, that he just doesn't want to play – but doesn't want to say it and doesn't, you know, wants to support his team and be there. You know, but I don't know that. I don't know that. And it's probably not that. But it's just getting to that point where, and I hate to even speculate, I love Joey, but you just kind of wonder. It's certainly weirder than we thought. And when stuff gets weird, you grope for answers. That's the answer I grope for. It's probably wrong, but it's crossed my mind.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, thanks for the chat as always. Enjoy the next few days, the holidays, and we'll get going with you again as we head toward 2021. Our last, I guess, 2020 appearance with Greg Doyle's next Tuesday.
That's heartbreaking, but Merry Christmas to you and everybody listening, and happy holidays to the rest. And last thing about Joey Brunk, it probably is his back, and he's 7 feet tall on most, and those guys, you know, the back takes longer to heal. Anyway, my best for Joey. Good luck tonight to everybody in that game, and hope everybody stay safe. Wear your mask and enjoy Luke Brown, because you're not going to see something like that again.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you.
Bye.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us Tuesdays here on the program. Also, I didn't mention this earlier, but Aminu Muhammad, you may know, made his decision last night. And when we left this program on Monday, I've had a lot of people tweeting and texting and everything. Where do you think he's going to go? What do you hear? And I think we've all said, even people that know a lot more about it than me, his guardian handled the recruitment, and it was very low-key. There wasn't some strong prediction for any of the schools that he had on his list of offers that he was really considering from. But with that said, Georgia and Indiana were kind of the two maybe that you did hear the most buzz about. Last night, he announced his decision, made his choice. It wasn't Tom Crean's Georgia program. It wasn't Archie Miller in Indiana. He picked Georgetown, which was a huge shock, I think, to most people that have followed his recruitment, and he's going to play for Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. I don't know that was thought to be the case by anyone. I think, really, people would have been very solid in their projections for Georgia 1 and Indiana 2, despite, again, the guardian handling the commitment and things really being pretty low-key. Just didn't see Georgetown happening. But that's where Aminu Muhammad will go. So what does that mean? Indiana misses out on another 2020 player. We've kind of been through the recruiting situation for the Hoosiers here recently, and we'll touch on it with Mike Pegram in the next segment. But another 2020 miss in that class, it obviously is still Logan Duncombe, who, by the way, is having a fantastic season, a start to the season for his Cincinnati Molar team. We try to get you some updates after his games, but he's had some really good performances, and that Molar team, very good, although they did lose to Lawrence North a couple weeks ago in Indianapolis. Of course, the addition of Parker Stewart, that helps Indiana, I think, in that class as far as on the roster for the next few seasons. But we'll see what Indiana does. We keep hearing Brian Snow, others that join us, have said they fully expect Indiana to be very engaged in the transfer market. That may have been a tip that Parker Stewart was coming to Indiana. We'll see if that continues as we get closer and to the end of the college basketball season. That transfer market has been out of control, to be quite honest, the last few years. It really picked up again this past year because of COVID, and I think everybody expects that transfers this year with COVID and so many other things going on is going to be absolutely nutty in this offseason. So we'll see. I don't even know if I could name a prospect. I know there are some out there. I know Indiana's obviously still recruiting in that class, but we don't know the names. There's no household names in-state, out-of-state, like there have been now for the last number of prospects, really. Trey Kaufman, Mason Miller, Aminu Muhammad. There have been some others mixed in there that haven't went Indiana's way, But 2020 kind of remains a little puzzling from a recruiting standpoint as far as true incoming freshmen for next year for this team, and we'll see how aggressive Indiana gets with the transfer market coming up at the conclusion of this college basketball season. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, little IU football to get ready for Northwestern, to get ready for the Outback Bowl, little IU basketball to get ready for Northwestern on Wednesday night, and I'll hit on recruiting as well. I know some of you want to know what's still out there in the class of 2020. We'll head to a break, come back with more. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us today. And, Mike, I want to start with basketball, and I want to start with recruiting. We don't talk as much about it now that the season is here and off to the races, but Aminu Muhammad selected Georgetown last night. We had just been talking about his recruiting over the last few weeks when you've been with us, and really there was no strong feeling on what he might do, but it was thought Indiana was definitely in the mix, and it was thought that maybe Georgia, if someone had to make a gun-to-head decision, would say that where he would end up, and it was neither of the two. It was Georgetown getting his commitment last night. A little surprising there, weren't you?
Yeah, it was. I mean, maybe not yesterday or this weekend, but if you go back to our conversation last week, yeah, it was. Georgetown had been involved for a while. I've had a long relationship there because of his Guardians ties and also having lived there in the Washington, D.C. area for when he first arrived to the United States. But, the decision did kind of go against what we thought a week or two ago.
Where does Indiana turn with 2021 recruits, guys that are seniors this year that would be true freshmen in college next season? And also, how concerning is it that Indiana's class continues to remain just Logan Duncombe as far as guys that will be freshmen in college next year?
Well, I mean, it hasn't been a good haul for Indiana in terms of quantity, but Logan Duncombe kind of fits a need with depth on the inside and is a pretty good get. It's you know, normally it would be a more of a negative, Matt, but they've added a transfer, Parker Stewart, who can come in and help right away because he's proven that two different schools. They also have this possibility of adding a transfer. They have the scholarships available in what will be kind of a free-for-all market, I bet. With first year, I think players can leave. Non-grad transfers can play right away. So it's kind of a good year to have open scholarships. So not adding 21 guys may not be a big negative at the end of the day.
Now, as far as names in the class, it seems like all the household names, whether it's an in-state guy or out-of-state guy, are off the radar. They have all made their decision at this point. And there have been quite a swing of recruits that Indiana's been very serious with for a while that have spurned Indiana's interest. It's kind of started with Trey Kaufman. There were maybe others before that as well, but Trey Kaufman and then Mason Miller and most recently Aminu Muhammad. There have been some other names mixed in between some of those decisions as well that just haven't went Indiana's way. Are there any household names and any reasonably big names in this class that are out there? I know there's no one in the state, but out-of-state guys that you think Indiana's really tracking and really has a chance to bring in?
Not at this time. It's getting really late for this class, but there's always a possibility that someone kind of emerges, shows something with their senior year play and pops back up as a potential high major addition, but not expecting that at this point.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Let's move to the opening Big Ten game of the season for the Hoosiers. Tomorrow they'll take on Northwestern, and I said this earlier with Greg Doyle. It's a Northwestern game that on the schedule when it first came out, you think that's a great way to start the conference. Indiana needs to get a win to start conference play. It's going to be tough. They'll have an opportunity to do that against Northwestern. And then, of course, we find out that Northwestern is pretty for real themselves and defeated Michigan State over the weekend in their Big Ten opener. So I'm looking at this Northwestern game tomorrow a little differently than maybe what I was.
Yeah, what's happened there, their young guards have really come on, especially their two sophomore guards, and then they have a freshman guard, Ty Berry, that's averaging in double figures. They have, I think, five guys averaging in double figures. Three of those are you know, either sophomore or freshman guards, and those guys just ended up being really good, led by Boo Booey and Chase Ottage. They took it to Michigan State right from the start. I mean, that game was theirs from the outset, and they have a nice forward that Indiana fans will probably remember, Miller Kopp. And then they have a long shot-blocking guy who's a familiar name, Pete Nance, in terms of his being the son of Larry Nance, who's a great NBA player. And Pete Nance is actually somebody that Indiana recruited, has good, really good length at 6'10 and 225. So it's a pretty balanced Northwestern team. They guard pretty well. They take care of the basketball. And, Indiana will have to shoot the ball well.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Little IU Basketball, to start our segment. I asked Greg Doyle this question. I want to pose it to you as well. Any thoughts, any insights on Joey Brunk and maybe when he'll be back for this team?
Well, he's still working out and doing some stuff. It's just he keeps, back injuries are the trickiest thing to manage. And you have little setbacks here and there, and I think that's happened in his case. And I would be surprised if he plays this week, but beyond that, it's still very much up in the air. But it's not like he's not doing some things with his body. He's going through workouts. You see him, four games where he does get dressed and does do some of the drills. But a back is a funny thing, and once you injure it, it's really hard to get back to normal within a season.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. IU football headed to the Outback Bowl. That is obviously official, and now we get through the hoopla of where should the Hoosiers maybe have been at and where they're actually going, and we can start to look at the opponent and some of the things surrounding this bowl game opportunity for the Hoosiers. I think it goes without saying, everything we've seen, everything I've read so far, is that Indiana will be a big favorite in this game against Ole Miss. Something else interesting is a lot of connections that Tom Allen and some of his staff members have with this Ole Miss program.
Yeah, Tom was there. Kane Womack, defensive coordinator. Grant Hurd, the wide receivers coach, and that's just three off the top of my head. I think Grant actually played and coached there. Some really strong connections with that school, and it's a school also that Indiana has recruited against. They're kind of one of the schools that also goes after those Florida players that's kind of at the same level as Indiana. So we've seen a lot of decisions come down to Indiana and Ole Miss over the years. So it's should be an interesting game. Ole Miss scores, moves the ball, I think the third in total offense in the nation. So it's going to be an exciting game.
And also, recruiting-wise, when Indiana went to the Gator Bowl a year ago, there was lots of discussion as a sidebar conversation about how that trip to Florida really helped Indiana recruiting in that state and in that area as a whole. That may not be the same this year because of COVID, because of so many things shut down. I would still think you get, obviously, the naturals, the exposure, the media coverage, the television coverage that comes along with being in a bowl game. But as far as in that local area where high school football is so good and so many great college players come out of, I'm not sure that same recruiting buzz, just because of the pandemic we're in, will exist this year. Is that your feeling on that?
Yeah, there won't be as much, but there'll still be a lot of stories about Indiana and the Tampa Tribune and a lot of discussion about IU on the television stations in Tampa Bay area. And Indiana recruits Tampa Bay more than they did the Jacksonville area. So I think this will still have a real positive for Indiana. I mean, remember Tom Allen actually coached at South Florida, and his son went to high school there in Tampa, and he goes to high school in the area too. So it's probably the strongest area IU is in recruiting wise outside of the state of Indiana. So it's definitely helpful, but it's not as helpful as it might have been under normal circumstances.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Check out the Pigs website for all sorts of IU football and basketball coverage. Big time here with Indiana getting ready to open up Big Ten on the basketball side. And, of course, between now and the Outback Bowl, there will be lots of chatter about IU football as well. Mike, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thanks for always being with us Tuesdays, and appreciate what you do.
All right, man. Take care. Bye then.
Mike Pegram with us on Tuesdays to talk IU basketball and football. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Luke Brown of Blackford with us in the first segment. His Blackford team plays at New Albany tonight. That's a 7:30 varsity tip-off, and I understand about 150 tickets remain. If you want one, doors open at 5 o'clock for the JV game at door 7. You can buy tickets for that game tonight. Again, about 150 tickets remaining in that contest this evening. Greg Doyle, of course, segment two, and then wrapping up today with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. Have a great holiday week, great Christmas week. Lots of fun coming up, lots of good sports days coming up as well, and we'll be with you a couple more days this week before we pause for the holiday as well. That's going to wrap things up for Tuesday. Check out the podcast. If you ever miss our live program, you can find us on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. Really, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can locate us. All you got to do is search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Leave us a rating and a review. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a podcast radio show about IU and about Southern Indiana sports. And on Apple Podcast, please leave us that rating and review if you're on there. That's how you listen to us. That will be very much appreciated. All right, coming up on Wednesday, we'll get ready in a big way for IU Northwestern. Tomorrow, we'll also talk some Big Ten hoops as the Big Ten game slowly starting to begin across the conference here over the last week and a half or so. But things really pick up right before the Christmas holiday, including a great slate of Big Ten games on Christmas as well. So we'll take a look at all of that tomorrow and get you ready for IU Northwestern and a lot more coming your way. We've got some fun shows coming up here over this holiday time. Thanks for being with us. Check us out as a podcast. New Albany, Blackford tonight, 7:30. I'll be back with you at 11 a.m. tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.